watch the struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Journey-Hare Stadium time is 9:07 p.m. Central Standard Time. Yeah, Orange and True after dark.
Use that hashtag, guys.
Your digital audio devices tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by your friends at collegemagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It is I, Drew, at CynicCrow2 on Twitter, at CynicCrow on Venmo. To one side of me, your tour guide through the cosmos, the rumor monger, Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for slandering the best player on every team we play this year.
I'm not stopping now.
To the other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR, a man of taste, a man who lives his life a quarter mile at a time, a man who has 100 years of down home running through his blood, AU Chief. Perfect. Hope we got that for our soundtrack, our sound effects record we're making today. Guys, how we doing? 1-1 basketball this week.
Yeah. Lost to the worst team. Not the worst team in the SEC. A bad team.
We lost a game.
We
theoretically could have.
Have we lost to a good team? Florida.
Did we lose to Kentucky?
No.
Yeah. Florida. Yeah. We lost to a team we theoretically could have afforded to lose to.
Yeah.
And we won a game that we needed to win.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of how it
works. If you had to go 1-1 this week, I think we went 1-1 in the right game.
Yeah, and we didn't even fall in the rankings hardly, which is kind of wild.
Because everybody lost.
Well, everybody there's like and everybody teams. Loses. If you go 1-1 in a week, unless you, I mean, I don't know, you have to lose two to really take a nosedive, but. You usually don't move that much.
So. There's a lot of moving parts in basketball. We'll get to this a bit later, but like
we still only have three losses.
No, three losses. This is a sport where it's like those guys probably had a test the day before the game, had to get on a plane, fly to the middle of nowhere,
the worst SEC town,
and then play a basketball game.
Worse than Pebble?
I'm being a little harsh on it.
Columbia's not a bad city.
They had an okay bar scene there, but it was kind of
close to St. Louis. It was cracker pizza.
It was hotter than the
It
was so hot.
People telling me that
it was so hot when we went there, and then the campus is as Big 12 as it gets.
I put on Twitter. You didn't appreciate this. I'm calling you out, Chief, for not noticing my joke on Twitter. Though. A cold night in Columbia, Missouri, has turned into the new cold rainy night in Stoke.
No. I would have appreciated that.
It's a soccer thing. We did soccer.
It's not just a soccer thing, Ryan. It's a meme about soccer. Yeah. There was an announcer who claimed that Ronaldo and Messi, not Ronaldo because he played in the Premier League, but Messi, who has never played in the English Premier League, might be good, but can he do it on a cold, rainy night in Stoke? Which is a city in the north of England that has a really lousy team, but. Lousy weather, and so I think he was saying that like if you can play there in a lousy game, lousy weather, and still have a great game,
they are a lousy really team, good. But they tend to just kick everybody all over the place. It's just a slog. It's like
CONCACAF.
Yes, it's very CONCACAF. It's like playing anyone else in CONCACAF other than Mexico and the U.S.
Yeah, or like watching.
It's like playing Iowa. It sounds like.
Yeah,
man.
Sure.
Or Virginia basketball.
Yeah. Oh, great example.
Yeah, or Mizzou basketball, for instance. That was a physical basketball game.
Jeez, man, this game. Are we there yet?
No, we're talking. Ryan wants to start
with an XFL podcast.
With Cameron Artist Payne.
Are people watching XFL?
Apparently people are watching it.
Okay.
I'm watching Cameron Artist Payne.
Okay.
No? Doesn't do anything for you?
I mean, Cameron Artist Payne.
I watched him on the Panthers.
He holds the record for the highest single season rushing total, or single game rushing total.
Yeah.
In XFL history.
Say,
99 yards, Chief.
Now, does this...
Out of the air.
Now,
I'm going
to make fun of this. Does this go back to the previous...
No, this XFL.
Oh, great. 2-week old record.
Yeah.
Good for him.
He also scored the first two touchdowns in the history of the Dallas Renegades.
It's your hometown team?
Hometown team.
They got play a one-point conversion. Played some Wildcats.
Do they? They play in
They play in the old
Not the new one.
The old one.
Yeah.
Did they convert it like they did the Ted?
It looks horrible.
I don't think it's a long-term thing, is it?
They leased it for this season.
It's the XFL, so no.
LOL. The fact that they don't play at like one of the 100 Dallas area high schools that have a large enough stadium for this.
Play at SMU or something.
Why don't they play at the MLS stadium?
Well, that's funny you say that because the LA team where they were playing this game does play at the MLS stadium. So I don't know.
What about the stadium where they have the FCS championship?
I think that's the MLS stadium.
Speaking of MLS, did you see the shirt deal that Inter Miami got from Qatar?
Qatar Airways? No, I didn't see it.
It's like,
dude, they're about to be the best team.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. You know the next closest deal? $18 million.
Right.
LA Galaxy.
You see the deal that the Austin team got?
No.
Well, they got McConaughey as their director of culture, whatever his name is.
Okay.
He's a part owner as well. He's an intern, actually. So McConaughey finangled a deal, and they have the shirt sponsor is Yeti Coolers. Austin-based company, Yeti Coolers.
Okay.
So that will be the number one best-selling shirt in the MLS.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
You got Austin, sweet logo.
Bunch of dude bros wearing
Yeti across the front. No, I didn't see that Inter had a shirt sponsor. Inter's going to have the best team in the league very quickly.
Well, yeah, because Messi's going to retire to it. Neymar already begged
to come play. And he goes, oh, yeah, I'll play. Because they all want to live in Miami.
Well, yeah, and these dudes will probably play for like nothing and just make a bunch of endorsement deals.
And they already speak Spanish. Miami's a Caribbean nation that they already can go.
And Qatar will just pay them directly and get around MLS's rules.
Now you're talking about financial fair play. And as a Manchester City fan, I can't sit back and Crow's team got absolutely
decimated with some stuff this week. We can talk about this.
If I know one thing about Manchester City, they are going to put a bunch of lawyers in a room, and that will get pushed back into about 3020. That they'll actually have to face.
This is after they've already done a bunch of lawyers.
I know, but I think that they're going to do some more lawyering.
Oh, okay.
You just continue to play under appeal, right?
Soccer news. Auburn head coach Kieran Hoppe has announced the team's 2020 spring exhibition schedule.
Ooh.
The Tigers will compete in four matches this spring. Three of those four, home. All home matches are free. Auburn kicks off its spring season with two straight home matches against the Troy Trojans on Saturday, the 22nd of February, right around the corner, Chief, at noon. And then the team will host Clemson the following week in a contest Saturday.
Clemson's a big soccer school.
You always play Clemson. Yeah.
Saturday, the 29th of February, so that's a leap game.
Oh, this is a leap year.
Yeah. Tigers then go on the road to Starkville, Mississippi, and Atlanta, Georgia. Auburn takes on Mississippi State Bulldogs on the 21st of March. And then Tennessee and Atlanta United's Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training facility, which is a pretty nice spot to watch a game, I've heard.
Okay.
So that's March 28th.
$225 million.
Is it weird
that we're
playing a conference team?
Then they play the men's club team. Auburn women's soccer will play the men's Auburn club
team
on April the 9th at 4:15 p.m.
Interesting.
I think the club men's team will win. I hope they don't. I hope the women's team beats them 6-0.
It'd be great, but I bet that's not.
With Breefold's no longer on the team, I don't know who's scoring.
I don't know what kind of rules they play by either.
Yeah. I mean, there are co-ed rules.
Yeah. Like, but I don't think the dudes are going to be able to, like, you know, muscle people off the ball and stuff. Otherwise, it's just no contest.
I played in a co-ed basketball game in Germany that FIBA apparently has some co-ed actual rules that are wild. Like, men can't block women's shots. Period.
Yeah, that must have been the rules on The Bachelor when
I don't know
Pete and Maddie were playing, because he could have just swatted every single.
Was she yamming on him?
She's got some handles. I'll say that
she played high school basketball.
Yeah, she's a state champion.
Yeah,
four times
state champion, and
that's right. Lee Scott
is it NAIA?
No, it's
she didn't play college. No, she went to Auburn.
No.
What is the high?
What are you talking about?
Alabama private.
She went to Lee Scott.
Right. NAIA
is a college thing.
Yeah, it's
AIA is like the same thing with an A.
Okay. We'll say NAIA is colleges.
You can't block girls' shots, and every girl's shot is worth, it's not half a point more. I think it's a full point more. Like twos or threes and threes or fours or something crazy like that.
So how do you prevent them from going to the basket if you can't block it?
Take a charge.
Taking three.
Take a charge.
Yeah. Or steal the ball.
Is any ref going to buy that you took a charge off of a...
Yeah, oh yeah, that's the move. Oh. Charges are still charges. I'm set. You can't run me over. I don't care what gender you are.
If they weigh... if their bone density and their weight, their mass is like well, then half of it. At point, like, what's going to happen?
They just run into you and fall over, I guess. Yeah.
If you set
but I played, and I had a girl on my team who played semi-pro basketball in Germany. We destroyed.
Yeah.
Because she would just cross half court, take three dribbles, and 2-3. Can't block her shot.
4 points.
Yeah.
4 points. Holy moly.
Let me tell you about old Young Chief. I would block a girl's shot.
It's a foul.
We used to play, a little co-ed during our basketball block at school in the spring sometimes. And I wasn't about to get,
You would get punked.
I can't get punked by one of the girls. And then, of course, you get ragged on because you blocked her shot after you did it.
But right.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Fun times. Sorry, Elizabeth.
You just got to play. You got to play defense.
I just had to do what I had to do.
That sounds kind of like what Auburn did to Illinois Chicago on the
bench. Speaking of playing defense,
yeah,
Auburn allowed no runs.
The same game
as first game.
I once got ooped on by Nate Watson.
4-0.
No,
oh, sorry.
Sorry, we totally hijacked
the record.
We totally hijacked your XFL segment.
That's fine. There wasn't much more besides.
Good thing we don't care about the XFL. Now, baseball.
Yeah, baseball had a hell of a weekend.
Yeah, outscored USC 44-7. That's usually a pretty good sign.
A little south that ointment on Saturday evening and Sunday.
Definitely. You were much better off watching the baseball game.
Salve on that wound.
Yeah, what did I think Josh Vitale had the tweet that Auburn lost in basketball but won in baseball, softball, and equestrian.
Everything
by a combined won five games that day. By like a combined score of like 68-9 or something crazy like that.
I think we had a good weekend other. I don't think gymnastics won. Weren't they at
Florida? No, I think they did win.
Did they? Did I thought one of the girls from Florida got a perfect 10 on the
ball. She might have.
Anyway. Baseball. Great weekend. I wish we could just have Drew come on and give us the rundown every week.
Yeah, we really should do that.
We should have him just record a quick
hit.
No, just tell him to get on his phone, record like 5 seconds or 30 seconds.
We'll tack it on.
Can we use that as one of our commercial breaks?
I don't think
sure. We have to do a commercial and then come back with Drew.
Yeah, we could go to commercial. Come
you
back
guys are hearing us produce the show right now.
Yeah, tell us what you think, guys.
Yeah.
I'll
tweet it.
Seriously, though.
We did lose to Florida in gymnastics.
We could use iTunes reviews. Apparently, I found out that they don't really matter.
No, but their core show off. Maybe they got a podcast.
Yeah. 5 stars. Make reviews. Them good. Do we have 8 reviews?
Five stars only. 5 stars only. If you don't give a 5-star, we assume you're a hater, as Bomani Jones says.
Yeah. There we go.
Auburn had a player go Peter Sagan on everybody and hit for the cycle in game 2.
You're gonna ask me.
I'm gonna ask you something else.
Oh,
I'm gonna ask, who's your favorite baseball player, Chief?
Dick Fitz.
There you go.
Richard Fitz, 5 innings pitched, 0. Richard Fitz had as many earned runs this weekend as I did, with 0. 7 strikeouts and 2 hits. The difference is I didn't pitch 5 innings for the Auburn Tiger.
That's pretty good. I'll take that in relief.
So he's our fourth starter. No, he's a starter.
Oh, he's starter.
He's probably going to be the midweek starter.
Okay. He'll do relief once we get to...
But so all four of the starters went 5 innings, except for Bailey Horn, who only went 4. That game was shortened anyways.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, Tanner Burns had the roughest weekend, which he still pitched pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. He got in a bit of a pickle early
on. Yeah.
Awesome.
He had one bad inning.
Who put himself in a pickle? Jack Owen. Who was slinging great until he walked a guy like 8 straight pitches.
Yeah, just kind of threw that in there and then went back to dominating.
You think he just did that just to...
Yeah, let's put some guys on.
Yeah. I'd say it's because he lost the stash.
Probably.
But yeah, Dick Fitz looking good. Judd Ward, as you just said, hit for the cycle in game 2.
It's pretty nice. I love the cycle because baseball is one of those weird sports where like that doesn't actually... You'd rather hit 4 home runs.
Sure.
But you know what I mean? But it's not as fun. Or like even hitting 3 doubles on a home run is a better day at the office than a single, a double, a home run, a triple. Like, but still, it's pretty sweet and interesting to be able to do that.
What is it if you do all that and a grand slam? Is there a name for that?
It's just a super cycle.
No, there is a name for it.
Super cycle. The spin cycle. I don't know.
The cycle with a grand slam. Yeah. There's only one player ever to do it. Kosuke Fukudome in Major Leagues. He had a grand slam
as
the
guy.
Home run of the cycle. Hiroshi Oshita and Kazuhiko Kondo are the only two players to hit a walk-off home run to win the game as the final.
The Japanese are dominating this. What is going on here?
I wonder if this counts the Japanese league. It might.
Maybe.
So it means that's nobody's impressive. Ever done it. That's pretty cool.
So, all over baseball, 4-0. You know, good start of the season. Where's their top 10 team?
Adrian Beltre, future Hall of Famer.
Did he have a triple in a game?
No. Yes, he did. Twice.
Wow.
At least twice. Only player in Major League history to hit for the cycle in the same ballpark for two different teams.
Oh.
For the Mariners and the Rangers.
I would love both to see the cycles. I need to see that triple. I need to see it.
The Adrian Beltre triple.
He doesn't get better than the Brian.
What is he doing? Triple. Like
just motoring.
Is there an error involved somehow? Like
just going full Sister Christian, Chief. Just motoring. Sister Christian was a band, Ryan, that played in the 70s and 80s. And yeah. They had one song. They had a lot of other songs, but no one knows them because they're already good.
Isn't there a song called Sister Christian?
Christian is the song. My fault. Sister Christian by Night Ranger.
Yes. Okay.
Night Ranger.
That makes more sense now.
Yeah. Night Ranger had the one song.
There's a great scene in Boondock Saints 2 featuring that song.
There are no great scenes in Boondock Saints 2.
There is if you watch it correctly. If you watch it knowing that it is the...
Is there a little pregame involved with that, or is that the correct way to watch it?
Sure. If you watch it knowing that it is possibly the most ridiculous movie ever made, and that Sean Patrick Flannery, for some reason, had plastic surgery done before the movie, so he looks unrecognizable.
Sure.
If they had waited like 6 months, he would have just looked fine, but for some reason, he needed it then. I don't know why. It's very bizarre. Norman Reedus.
See, that I was reading a bunch of nonsense about this Japanese players.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
There have been 9 players in the Grand Slam as part of the cycle.
Were you just looking at the Japanese league?
I guess. as I want to do.
I was like, wow, this is high percentage.
And only 6 players have hit a walk-off.
Okay, so 9 guys have done the cycle with the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
Is that a home run plus a Grand Slam?
No, that's just
no one's ever done that, I suppose.
That's a lot of games. 10 players collected 6 hits in a game in which they hit their cycle. That's a lot of hits. Wow. Including Ian Kinsler, former Ranger great.
Bad day.
The Rangers hit a lot of cycles, by the way. Way more cycles than trips than World Series appearances.
A little like Trump hands going on there.
Sorry.
Just the Rangers are the best.
The hands are way bigger.
Yeah, they look normal size. Yeah.
No, he was just kind of,
You guys, the best at hitting the cycle, they do a lot of useless things really well. The things that you might want.
A home run derby.
You know? Like a dog.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did he even win that home run derby, Hamilton?
No, I don't think he did.
Yeah. So forget that.
What do you think about the Astros? You know what, man?
Cheating.
I don't care.
I do, kind of.
I don't care.
I care only because it's literally going to be worth watching the first couple of games of the year as every pitcher for every other team beans every better.
I think all these other teams are hypocrites because I think every other team is cheating.
They might be, but I don't think they're doing that is the thing.
I think they're doing some of it.
I don't think they're doing the buzzer under the jersey.
No, I think they are, and I think that's the reason that the Astros did not get punished worse than they did.
There's a really interesting article on
Conspiracy Chief.
I really do, because if they punish them, then they roll over on everybody else, and everybody else is, and then it's a whole
thing. Except that the other players are saying things like, I can't believe they did it. Well,
of course
they are. Let me tell you something.
Of course they are.
As a fan of a sport that has had its own share of insidious cheating.
And then they're all very indignant.
No one drops time.
They're all very indignant.
They say, I didn't cheat, but no one says, I can't believe so-and-so cheated as well.
It's
an interesting... And there was actually a really good op-ed in the Wall Street Journal last week from a former pro cyclist saying, baseball, listen, take it from us. Do what you got to do. you got to come clean.
Yeah.
You got to punish the Astros really bad.
Well, and then if there's one thing MLB's great right. at, it's coming clean.
And then everyone else has to tell the truth. Otherwise, people are going to quit thinking that this is real.
I just think, I don't know.
It's going to be like wrestling or The Bachelor.
Or the way cycling was. Cycling, it still has never recovered from the fact that from 1990 to 2000, everybody was cheating.
Baseball hasn't recovered from the steroid era. I mean,
you got to come clean. You tell the truth. If you're cheating in baseball doing this, punish everybody.
They should have.
But then just say, look, all right, guys, nobody do it anymore.
But what is severely punishing the Astros?
Taking the World Series away and give it to the Dodgers. That's severe punishing. Take the trophy out of their trophy case.
I think the second
they don't give it to the Dodgers, just like they didn't give it to NCAA, didn't give it to Oklahoma.
I think the second
Auburn.
They do that, you find out that the Dodgers have
great
stuff.
And then no one gets it.
Yeah. I think
if you're an Astros player, why aren't you saying, oh, hey, like, come on, everybody does this?
Because
they
didn't
really
get
in trouble
doing that.
I agree with Crow here. I don't think this is as widespread. There is cheating on every team between illegal substances and cutting baseballs. That's a thing.
Even sign stealing. I think there's sign stealing going everywhere.
Yes.
Well, everybody's always trying to sign steal.
I don't think there's guys wearing buzzers everywhere.
I think that's going on more than just at the Astros.
The Astros were unique in that they were owned by a bunch of hedge fund bros who, within the first 2 weeks of buying the team, began sending out emails. Hey, how can we cheat? Like, legitimately.
Didn't they say this program got developed by an intern?
Yeah. Hey, how can we cheat?
I still think...
I hope he got paid. Let's put it that way.
I think it's happening. Finance bros have this team, and they know how to skirt the rules.
I don't care. I think it's fine if people do care.
Speaking of which, the allegations
I don't even care.
Films practices. Surface.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was there anything besides that one tweet from some random dude?
No, and people going, yeah, I heard that too.
Okay.
Yeah, no actual substantiated facts, but
before we close the book on baseball, what are we playing this week?
We were supposed to be playing tonight, as you hear this Tuesday night, but we're actually playing Wednesday because of the rain.
Oh,
and it's supposed to be rain tomorrow, Chief.
Oh,
is rain
today,
every day?
Sorry,
James Spann. Didn't know
there's rain all the time.
Speaking of,
it's Auburn, Alabama.
Today,
it's every day,
as we record. Yesterday, as you listen on
in the future,
my son's birthday.
Happy birthday,
Alex.
Baby Chief.
He turned 4 years old.
Nice.
So,
do you ever think you'd have a 4-year-old?
No, I don't know how I have a 4-year-old now. My wife and I have been approaching him like, how is he 4?
Yeah,
it's pretty wild.
The weirdest part about being a dad is going to sleep and waking up knowing you have to do it all over again tomorrow. Like, I gotta figure out the same crap again tomorrow.
Just wait till you have the second one. Right, Sarah?
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick commercial break. Pay some bills. And we're back.
Speaking of
at the
cheaters.
22:56 mark. You got that, Ryan?
22:56.
We are producing the show live on the air.
Yeah, this is by the seat of your pants. Speaking of cheaters, Auburn watched some film on Alabama and beat them. That was a wild game. Alabama... one of the things, God bless him, Nate Oates has done is he's decided to just
keeping
go
them regular.
Full in on analytics.
Just keeping them regular.
He is a guy who literally is like read a paper on basketball analytics at the Sloan Conference and said,
nerd.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
It's either that or I think he just watched Bruce Pearl's team from last year, his last 2 years, and said, okay, I'm going
to
do that, but like
turn
more.
It
crank
up to
it
11.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just no, but like
Spinal
Tap was a movie that came out in 1989.
It's
like
a classic film. But he admits to doing that like he bought into analytics. Analytics says don't shoot twos unless they're dunks.
I think we've bought. I mean, we have.
I think we have too. And so Auburn, who even though we don't shoot threes well, is
shooting
a lot of threes.
Can we talk about threes for a second?
No, I don't.
More than twos.
I don't want to think about threes.
We're gonna do it.
No.
So
wait, we're not moving on yet.
No. We're
Alabama.
We're gonna
back
shot.
Alabama.
We're not gonna. We're not to the jinx part of this.
Alabama
we're talking
shot
about our threes.
59 3-pointers against Auburn in that game.
Set a record.
Yeah, set multiple records. Most made and most shot.
Yeah. I can't believe 23.
Kyra Lewis.
Ryan's favorite inefficient player had a triple-double against Auburn.
Do you know what his voice was?
The most inefficient triple-double.
It was.
Sure.
So we talked about Austin Wiley, like, you know, pushing two on points per shot. Yeah. Kira had 0.8.
That's almost a point a shot.
What are you talking about?
No, that is terrible.
Oh, okay.
That is so bad.
You know what else is not bad, though? 13 assists.
10 points on 13 shots is not good.
He didn't need 10 points. He had 13 assists, and most of those were threes.
Yeah.
He was responsible for at least, looking at this thing, 30 points by himself.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I call that good.
And
I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm saying he's not a good scorer.
Multiple times on this podcast that he's not a good player.
Yeah, yes, you have.
I have not.
You've gone on the record, on wax, saying that Kira Lewis is overrated.
This guy.
Yeah, no, he is overrated.
This guy. He's 100% not.
He will be playing on an NFL team next year.
Oh, that would be really cool, though. He's doing that.
I'm in NFL.
Okay.
No, he'll be playing on an NBA.
He's going to play in the NBA because he can get rebounds as a point guard.
He's a big point guard.
He can't shoot.
Nobody cares.
Everybody cares in the NBA.
Well, I don't know. Rajon Rondo has a job.
Yeah.
And Ben having a job. And Russell Westbrook. Ben having a job.
He's got a ring.
Kyra Lewis is Russell Westbrook. Poor man's Russell Westbrook.
Oh, man.
That's what he is.
All he needs is Ray Allen, and he'll win a ring.
Poor man's Russ Westbrook.
Ray Skywalker.
Still inefficient, Ryan has in the show notes.
He is. I will die on this hill.
I know. You are the opposite of Nate Oates. Or you are just like Nate Oates in that you're super into the analytics. And Kyra Lewis is out here just getting triple-doubles, winning games, and almost winning games. Auburn had a 16-point lead to open the game against Alabama and almost lost this one. At home!
It's because we took out our leading scorer, Anthony McElmore, who was having himself a game. And from then on out,
Auburn tried to play a lot of dudes in that first half.
We played with some weird lineups, too. Once we were up 16, it was like, we were still trying to throw whatever we got.
We were still trying to figure it out, minus D'Angelo. It was a new rotation.
I think there was a little bit of complacency in that we're up 16. We should just wipe this team.
Yeah.
But then
of course, no lead is safe when the other team is going to shoot 59 threes. Right. If Auburn shot 59 threes, they might make 15.
Maybe. Not against Mizzou. Let's go to Mizzou. Auburn, how many threes did we make, Ryan? As a team?
Let me count real quick.
Your favorite player, D'Angelo McElmore. Your favorite player, D'Angelo McElmore.
D'Angelo Purifoy. Made the only three
game. I got one.
Javon McCormick had 21 points against Mizzou, which is interesting to think about the fact that he had zero threes.
Yeah.
That's pretty great for your
tiny
point guard.
He made a lot of two-point buckets, not layups, just like...
Yeah. Austin shot. Wiley had 22 points, his career high.
Austin dominated.
Austin has been, and he's kind of been on a hot streak.
Yeah.
Two guys had decent games, McCormick and Wiley. I want more rebounds out of Javon McCormick. And I want more assists.
I want less turnovers. He only had four, but he had four at the end.
I've got to say, you get more assists by your teammates making shots.
There you go. That's true.
It wasn't nobody his fault makes a shot.
Making a shot.
How many threes did we shoot?
17.
I mean, that's not a lot.
Yeah, but shooting 6%.
But you got to think it'll fall. Like that's the whole point. The 17 is not a lot of threes.
Auburn was better at rebounding, as they are every game.
We're averaging like 30, right?
Auburn drew 20. More fouls, which it does against every team.
Yeah.
It didn't turn the ball over a ton.
No.
But just could not shoot the basketball.
This
team really isn't a good shooting team, period.
No.
But when you go from bad to worse, you're going to lose games like
that. My whole theory on this game is... We've been flying by the seat of our pants for a while. We were number one in luck, according to
Kim. Now we're number three.
Now we're down to number three because we lost a game. And when you're flying by the seat of your pants like that, and then your best player goes down.
Right.
And another starter is not playing. He can't play starter minutes. And when he does, he's not playing well or that well. I think bad things are going to happen.
Right.
And bad things happen in the game. Although, here's the thing. If it were only Isaac Okoro out, and if D'Angelo was just his normal self for this year, which hasn't been great, but has been
serviceable.
A solid 8 points he can defend. I think we're okay because Alan Flanagan had a good game in this game.
Yeah, he really did.
But it was the whole, we had Mac playing the four, which it just throws his entire game off. Every time he's really played a lot of four, it's kind of screwed him up.
Except for when he opened the Bama game.
Yeah, sure.
If he hits some threes early, then it might be all right.
Yeah. The chemistry of this team, it just felt very similar to when Anthony McLemore went down 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The team's just off. And maybe if we had another week to prepare that looks better, I don't know. It does make me fear what is going to happen when without Isaac Okoro until we get him back.
Which could be this week.
I hope.
He was listed as questionable, apparently.
He didn't travel. Trip.
I think that's... Maybe you'll play. Right. Guys better be ready for him. And
I'd like to think he plays against Kentucky. But
I think we sent him.
Did I read somewhere that he practiced? That might be wrong. That might be fake news.
He's probably shooting and stuff.
And I would have had him in a body cast.
We didn't talk about how he was like severely fouled when he got hurt, right? Yeah. I mean, just Petty just barged into him and knocked him over.
That game was trash. We should throw away that Missouri game tape. It should literally
just be so.
It's one of those games that happens.
It was predictable. We're bad away from home anyway.
You're gonna have a bad game every year.
I felt like going into that game, people were really like, "Oh, we'll win this."
We were that way on the podcast.
I was not. I was like, right. I don't know.
If they take one thing away from this game, it's gotta be figuring something out defending the perimeter.
Yeah.
Because especially down Okoro, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
I mean, Anthony struggles outside. Javon struggles out there.
We don't have a lockdown perimeter.
Samir's your best defender.
This zone we've been running is...
It's because we can't defend man-to-man.
It kills me. It looks awful.
We can't run man-to-man on the perimeter.
And guys are just drilling threes on us.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Everybody can shoot threes. That's the problem. Except for
UGA. Ryan's going to tell us why UGA can't shoot threes.
Oh. We're going to talk about how we can't shoot threes first. So I wanted to do this earlier, but I want you guys to just guess how... okay, we'll do this. Start from the top. Who has the best three-point percentage on the team?
Anthony McLemore. No.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
No. So it's Jamal Johnson.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
Still, I mean, limited threes, but he's at 39%. It's
because he went like 3-for-4 in really one game.
Yeah.
He hadn't got that many.
Yeah. How many has he shot?
You have to give me a second on that one.
No, let's not.
So who do you think is second on the team?
Anthony or Samir?
It's Chief's least favorite player.
Devin Cam. Oh, that's right.
37%.
Because he's made like a billion in two games.
Jamal Johnson has attempted 64
threes. 64?
Yeah.
He's actually better than people give him credit for. No, I think.
No.
No.
No, he is.
I don't think he is.
He is
so bad on defense.
I don't want to badmouth guys on the pod, so let's not.
Anyway,
skip on.
Take those two guys away.
Yeah.
Your third best 3-point shooter on this team is Anthony McLemore.
Yeah.
33%.
I kind of feel like Javon might be next because he's made a bunch recently.
No, Javon is sub 30.
No, that's
not. Okoro is sub 27.
Yeah. Well,
that's the thing. Keep from Okoro being the number one pick in the draft.
Right. If he could shoot the three, he'd be the number one.
Can I interest you in 14.7 from Alan Flanagan?
That's better than what I've got. I got him at 12.5.
it's not shocking.
Yeah.
I know the nerd is concerned. He's not a big Flanagan fan because of that offensive output.
And he might get there. He's a freshman.
He could get there. Yeah. For me, next year, I have Flanagan starting. And I think Bruce probably does, too.
He started this week.
Now, two-point percentage.
And he had a great game.
Two-point percentage, Anthony, Isaac, Devin, Austin, Flan, then D'Angelo, then Samir, then Javon. Javon McCormick is our 10th best. Throw out Preston and Jalen. He is our 8th best of our 8 rotation.
I want to say there was one point in this game, in the Missouri game, where we were like 94% of 2.
Doesn't shock me.
Had made one
because
of like
we got
10 from
Anthony, Isaac, Devin, Austin, and Flanagan are all shooting better than 55% from two. That's really good.
Yeah.
And then Dangelo shooting 54%. Samir's 51%.
You know, I think that...
Nobody's shooting bad from two. Javon at eighth is still shooting 45% from two. It's not half bad.
18% from Jamal Johnson.
Yeah, he doesn't shoot many twos either. What is he?
Very low number.
He takes half of an attempt a game from two.
I want to say Austin may have set the record for dunks in an Auburn game in this Missouri game. He dunked about 10 times. Like, I think, probably not 10, because he didn't shoot well from the free throw line. So
his poor 40 minutes, he probably had
16 bonkers. Points and dunks in the Missouri game.
Last thing I'll say, y'all said Kier Lewis's 0.8 points per shot was good. Everybody on the Auburn team is over one for the season.
Well, look.
Right. You ready to move on?
Did you watch him score 25 against us?
He scored 25 points on us.
Was it a lie that he did that?
And then he had a triple-double.
Yeah. Small sample size, guys.
Okay. The game before he played us, he had 37.
Yeah. Terrible player. I'd hate to have him on the team.
Do you know who else was an inefficient scorer? Kobe Bryant. Yeah. Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
Inefficient scorers.
Crow thinks Kier Lewis is Kobe Bryant.
No, I'm saying that there is more to it than efficiency. Like, Austin Wiley is the most efficient player in basketball.
He's not the best player.
But he is bonkers efficient. He's getting to the line or making a shot every time he gets the ball. It's really insane at this point. His per 40 minutes are 11 free throw attempts.
It's per 40 minutes. It's getting to the point where 11. I'm going to be real mad when he's not first team all SEC.
I told somebody the other day, we may not win the SEC this year, but we're going to have a first-team All-SEC player. It's either going to be Austin or Samir.
The one that you didn't mention is going to be a top-five draft pick.
Right. Yeah. And Okoro would have been had he not gotten hurt.
If we slump for the next couple of games, that just cements Okoro as a top pick, doesn't it?
Didn't we see ESPN's got him going to your Hawk? Huh? What did Hawk say? Rise up?
Ka-ka!
Good God. Ka-ka!
The Hawks say... Who's running this shit? Who's in charge here?
How long is my contract?
Yeah.
All right. We already talked about Jordan, though?
Great. They got the potential number one pick in the draft. A guy that I really think...
He's also super efficient.
Well, Ryan, I counter your inefficiency argument. He's an extremely efficient catch-and-shoot scorer. He's a very inefficient ball-dominant scorer. He's having to be a ball-dominant scorer because...
They don't have anybody else.
He's Benny the Jet Rodriguez on that team. He's playing with a bunch of rejects and fat kids.
He's Nate Watson with me my junior year.
Sure. I don't know.
Nate scored a gazillion points on a good team his junior year. Then he was the only good player on our team the next year and did not score a gazillion points because he was having to handle the ball. He's way better at shooting
Pablo Sanchez.
Thing that I've read is that the team that is really got better at Edwards is the Golden State Warriors because they're going to have a top five pick this year because they are terrible because everyone's hurt. And so next year they'll say, well, Anthony, guess what? You don't have to dribble because Steph's going to do the dribbling on the team. You just sit over there and shoot threes.
Drive to the basket. He used 29% of this year.
Shoot threes. He's really good at catching shoot threes, Ryan. That's a different stat. And he's good at catch and shoot, at driving the basket off the catch.
Yeah, it is a totally different thing.
There is a reason why he is going to be a top three pick.
No, he's extremely talented.
It is not his usage rate, and it is not his PER. PER is not bad. 21 is not half.
Yeah, no. PER. It's better than Kyrus, I can tell you that.
God, I wish.
He's an inefficient scorer, but he's a very efficient player.
I'd feel so much better if we had Isaac Okoro going.
We still might.
Edwards might put up 40 in this game, like that guy at Arkansas did. Outside of that, they're 2-10 in conference play.
So they're going to have two guys go for 25 points each, and he's going to score 40. So thanks, Ryan. You're welcome for that.
Can I tell you?
Number 25 for them is really good. He is
that Rayshon Hammonds?
Yes. Yeah. He scored a lot on us almost every time we played them.
Can I tell you that they're 319th in the country in 3-point percentage?
Ryan.
That's a fact. But you don't have to tell me you're good or bad. I told you, say that's a fact.
I told you not to do this.
Currently, they don't shoot threes well. Maybe this is a get-back game for the Auburn Tigers. Maybe this is a slump buster. One game loss is not really a slump. But
what is when you only have three losses on the season?
Right.
It's on the road. I do not like this. I do not like it at all.
I'm not going to get beat by Tom Crean. Come on.
We got a lot of Georgia kids on the team, I think. I think.
I don't know. Have you seen him in Exit Wounds? He put in a good, pretty good performance.
I saw him in that Soul Plane movie. It was pretty good. Yeah. Ryan, he looks a lot like Tom Arnold.
He's over who used to be married to Roseanne. Ryan, Roseanne was a big star in the late 80s, early 90s.
Then ABC brought her show back. Turns out she is problematic.
Which they should have known. I'm not sure what they were thinking.
Was that a secret?
No, it was not a secret.
Well, okay. I don't think they thought she was as problematic as she ended up being.
It was so bad that when
somewhat recently dressed up as Hitler.
It's true. That is true.
When she got kicked off the show, all her co-stars were like, okay, yeah, sure. We'll just do the show without her.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yes. But no one's watching.
Yeah, they also, no one else is tweeting and accusing presidential candidates of running child sex rings out of pizza restaurants, which she did.
She had done that before.
And they still gave her a show.
Yes, ABC. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, man.
We played the Tennessee Volunteers, Auburn's number one basketball rival, Saturday.
Number one rival.
Sure.
Just in general.
I really don't like their football team.
Not a fan at all.
The official Sonic Crow team of the SEC, because they got two non-Americans starting for them. I see what you're seeing, what you're doing here, Ryan. Santiago Vigascovi from Uruguay. And Yves Pons from Favo, France.
That's a nice they got a Francais?
Yeah, from a combo guard.
Is he going to surrender? What's going to happen here?
It's funny you say that, Chief.
You know, they used to have
not known for that until the First World War.
I know. They used to have the best army in the entire world. But then.
Didn't you lose half your population?
Yeah.
Everybody's like, we don't want to do this.
Yeah. Maybe if we just let them have what they won't kill everybody. Yeah.
They're a big team, Ryan has here. But they don't have the normal talent that they've had.
Ryan seemed to be wanting to scare us with some stats earlier, though. It seems to be.
Which one you got there, Chief?
Those defensive stats.
Here's what I like about this team that I'm reading.
Yeah.
They're a 2-point shooting team.
Well, that is good.
They're okay at twos.
Because we have Austin Wiley.
Right.
But if Mr. Austin Wiley gets in trouble, foul trouble, that
could
be
they're above average at drawing fouls.
Speaking of problematic, that could be problematic for us.
Man, I really don't want to lose to Tennessee.
So
is this the home one?
This is home. Yeah.
This is our last Saturday home game.
Okay, we're going to scare.
Yeah, I'm into it.
We might lose to the Dogs and beat the Vols.
No one's Georgia. Come on, guys.
That's okay, man.
I just want to win the league.
You can lose four times.
I want to win the league.
What's the funny thing is you could go 500 the rest of the way and be...
I want to win the league.
We can lose five times to win the league.
I don't know. I don't see Kentucky.
It's just games.
You have to be Kentucky.
You got
to
be Kentucky.
We have to win and run. Yeah. That's the problem.
Auburn still controls destiny.
We have to win and run, Brian.
Yeah, I'm just
do you know the last time we won and run?
No, I don't.
1988.
I knew that was a thing, but I wasn't alive yet.
So, Auburn has...
Pre-cigar game.
We've never... as far as I know, we've never swept Kentucky either.
Wow.
So...
Anyway,
they get all the calls in rough. I think that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, they accused us of getting all the calls in
home. Sure, they did.
That's why you know you're a basketball school when teams accuse you of getting all the calls at home.
Yeah. Because you usually do.
What's this NBA Global Academy? So, this Santiago, can you say that for me? Vescovi?
I'm assuming that's what it is. A lot of guys have Italian names.
So, he played at this.
He's an Italian.
But he's from Uruguay.
He's in Uruguay.
So, he's got. And then he played this NBA Global Academy in Australia. So what's the deal with that?
NBA Global Academy, the NBA is going to launch another one in Africa. They got two now. The first one was in Australia.
Is this just like an IMG run by the league?
Yeah. basically. It's a training center. They do a bunch of stuff. They do male and female prospects.
Do you have to pay to be?
No, they pick you, and there's only 12.
Oh wow!
12 that get to go.
So this guy's pretty freaking good.
Well, good for a non-American kid who wasn't playing professionally.
Sure.
Because if you're already in some, like if you're in Real Madrid's or Barcelona's, you don't go to the Global Academy. If you're just, hey, I need a team, I'm undiscovered, and you try out, then you can go. But Australia's kind of becoming a basketball crazy country.
Well, they've been for a while. Kukoc.
Here are the guys that have gone to the...
No. Is it Kukoc?
Tony Kukoc?
Yeah.
He's not Australian.
No. Who's the Australian?
Andrew Bogut.
No.
Matthew Dellavedova. Dante Exum.
Australian played the Patty Jordans.
Williams. Luke Longley.
Yes.
There it is.
There we go.
Name it every Australian. Ben Simmons, Australia.
Wait, is he?
Kyrie Irving.
Wait, Ben Simmons is not Australian? Yeah, no way he's Australian. His dad's like a music producer. No, he's not.
I think he's got that Australian citizenship somehow.
Ben Simmons was born in Australia. Australian professional basketball player for the Philadelphia 76ers. Born in Melbourne. Grew up in Australia his whole life. Left Australia to play basketball in high school.
No way!
And then to LSU.
Interesting.
He came to America for hoops and basketball.
Born why?
At a school called Montverde Academy.
Simmons is a
in typical Florida.
Hebrew name, right?
I don't know.
Benjamin is.
Sure.
What?
It's his typical.
It's the tribe of
one of the tribes.
Chief.
I wasn't thinking about his first name being Benjamin. You don't know his first name is Benjamin. It could just be Ben.
Hey, it could.
It's sure. Benjamin. I'm on Wikipedia.
Okay, there you go.
I just.
Is Australia the Louisiana of the former British Empire?
Yeah, Australia is Arkansas, Louisiana of the world.
I'm just thinking about the Australian transition.
Florida. I was going to say Florida. It's the Florida.
There's a lot of deadly animals in that country.
It's the Florida of the world. A lot of weird people.
Do they eat them? That's the question. That's the difference between LSU and Florida. Or Louisiana and Florida.
They'll eat them.
He went to the same high school.
Does it taste good? Not because you're on meth. That's the difference.
Mm. The guys who went to his high school, RJ Barrett, Joel Embiid,
Angelo Russell. Where'd he go?
Ben Simmons. Brazilian soccer player Matthias Silva plays for Hartford Athletic in the USL. Filip Petrosev, who's Serbian.
Ben Simmons is Australian. This is something I'm learning on this book.
Yeah, it's an academy in Florida that.
And you two listeners have learned that Ben Simmons is Australian.
Well, they probably knew if they watched any LSU basketball that year, that 1 year.
Auburn fans didn't watch LSU basketball 5 years ago.
Recent Auburn basketball fans didn't do that
5 years ago? That was only 3 years ago.
It was the year before we
were good
won
at
the SEC. So 4 years
it's
ago.
Been a while.
He was born in 96. He's 23. He is younger than Dangelo Purifoy.
Which we discovered pre-pod.
Was that pre-pod? Okay, yeah. Listener, Dangelo Purifoy is 24 and 6 months younger than me. Found that out today.
Dangelo Purifoy is 4 years older than Luka Doncic.
He is.
He's a lot just, older than Zion Williams.
Yeah, he is. 10.5 years younger than me.
There it is.
Do the math, guys.
I'm 30.
That's not right. None of that's true.
That's some bad math.
Yeah, that's right. What? So we're going to beat Tennessee.
We're going to beat Georgia. We're going to win the rest of the game, guys.
I have a question for
You've
the
been
listeners.
Saying this.
If you're I've been mostly right, Chief.
I have a question for the listeners. If
percentages, Ryan.
If you're listening to this podcast,
I'm efficient.
I know there's one thing that gets Auburn fans talking more than anything else. Uniforms.
The Bachelor? Oh.
Uniforms.
Yeah.
So I had an idea. So I was watching a little Real. FC Barcelona basketball. Watching a little FC Barcelona basketball this week. And I remember that FC Barcelona. So, Ryan, FC Barcelona is not just a soccer team with Messi.
Sure.
Instead,
is it a basketball team with Messi?
No, it's a sports club. Think of it as
it's just junk thrown.
Yeah, I think he would be very good.
Yeah,
I'm not good with his hands. I think of it as an athletic program, much like an athletic department. They've got a bunch of different teams. Their best team is their soccer team. That's what makes the money. But they're actually a really well-regarded basketball. They beat the Lakers 2010 in a preseason game with Kobe. The interesting thing, though, is that they're basketball uniforms are literally just they look exactly the same as that year's Barcelona soccer uniforms.
Sand sleeves.
Sand sleeves. And longer shorts.
Don't they have the checkerboard pattern?
Right now they do, because that's what Barcelona's checkerboard has.
I didn't know Barcelona.
Barcelona has checkerboard red and blue this year. It's very controversial, because usually they're vertical stripes.
Yeah, yeah. And checkerboard is a Slavic thing, right? Right?
So, or Croatian.
Croatian.
In Tennessee. Yeah. So, I sent that to our friend.
Tennessee is the Croatia of America.
The Southeast. Yeah. I sent... So he said that it has zero coastline in Croatia, known for its coast.
Wow.
I sent a picture.
Also known for the mountains, though.
It's true. Of a player for Barcelona.
Random secret nuclear facility in there?
Probably. Dude, man, who knows? The Soviets, dude.
A lot of goats.
I sent a picture of a Barcelona player to our friend Clint and said, hey, what would an Auburn University?
Oh, did he?
He hasn't sent it back. But it got me thinking. Wouldn't it be cool if Auburn picked a uniform, let's say football, and just said, all of our sports uniforms are this uniform just made for that sport? The basketball team wore white shorts every game, and either white tops or blue jerseys, and the blue jersey had the sleeve stripe across the top. Anyway, interesting concept.
I just want to
think baseball could pull it off pretty well.
Baseball would look really sweet.
Oh,
or we could do pinstripe football.
Those hats.
The white hats. They were nice. I didn't watch the game, but I saw photographs. I thought that was nice.
I really think we should always wear orange at home.
Lakers style? This year in them.
What?
Lakers style?
Yeah.
Colors at home?
Yeah.
3-0 in them this year.
We should just wear orange at home all the time. I've said this. I've literally said this.
Careful, Crow. Or Chief, you're sounding like Tubbs over there.
Look, me and Tubbs got along during his time at Auburn.
What about recently?
Look, I love Tommy Tuberville.
Your uncle's Facebook rants aside,
I also love my uncle.
Yeah.
Okay. We should always. I've been saying that we should wear orange at home in basketball since I was in school.
The Lebo era.
So, yeah,
we had some pretty cool orange uniforms in the Lebo era.
Yeah. Oh, in the Cliff era too.
Yeah.
The really 90s, early 2000s Tiger Stripes on the trim. Oh man, it was good stuff.
Ryan, what if we tried a powder blue, the old 80s baseball uniforms?
No. You know, our colors are orange and navy blue.
Navy.
Why would we wear a powder blue?
We're not Ole Miss.
Hey, Bo wore powder.
That's true. Baseball for a long time, powder blue replaced gray, and no one knows why, but it just did.
Yeah.
Better than gray.
We could do it in baseball.
All right, you guys.
Oh, the pinstripe uniforms look great too. Yeah. The full
added a little orange accent in those.
Baseball, man, great.
Well, guys, I just want you guys to think about that. Send your tweets to @collegeandmag on Twitter. Don't get into my mentions.
Oh, don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
Yeah, and if you think we're five stars, just
Netflix, Spotify,
text Chief and tell him, hey, good pod today.
Yeah, since there are only about five listeners.
Yeah. Tell a friend today. About
consistently 300 of y'all.
Each one reach
don't brag.
Each one of you guys reach one more person. Go up to their phone. Hey, can I borrow your phone? And they're going to think, oh man, is he putting his number in my phone? Go to the podcast app. Download this podcast.
I think this only works if you're an attractive female.
Ladies. Orange and True. Ladies of Orange and True. Go up to dudes in the bar. Hey, can I borrow your phone? And then download the Orange and True podcast.
We need to sponsor a ladies' night at Southeastern.
Yeah. We sponsor every ladies' night at Southeastern. Already.
Sure.
We already do.
Go to Southeastern any night you can, ladies.
Yeah. And tell them you heard it on the Orange and True podcast, sponsored by the good people of Vox Media.
Bonus.